And welcome back to Liberal Dan Radio, talking the left, that's right. This is your host, Dan Zimmerman, coming at you from New Orleans, Louisiana. You can join the conversation if you want, calling 914-803-4131. Just leave your name and your first three numbers of your area code or whatever in the YouTube chat so I can know who you are, so I don't have a call screener. You could also leave your comments and questions, et cetera, in the YouTube chat. You Liberal Dan Radio on YouTube, and if you're listening after the show, you could also comment on YouTube, or you could leave your comments on the show thread at liberaldan.com, over at facebook.com/liberaldan, or at Liberal Dan Radio on Twitter. If you want to support the show, you could always become a Liberal Dan Radio patron. Go to patreon.com/liberaldan or patreon.liberaldan.com. Either way, we'll get you there. You can support me on a month-to-month basis. You can support me individual payments by going to liberaldan.com, clicking on the Buy Me a Cider button, or just go to buymeacoffee.com/liberaldanradio. You can treat me to cider whenever I go out to the local cidery. You can also Venmo me, just make sure it's friends and whatever, so we don't have to suffer any fees from that. Anywho, so lots of stuff to talk about. We got the big old State of the Union. That was probably my favorite to watch, I think, ever. I think the GOP made themselves out look to just be absolute clowns, and making the whole, is it Joe Barton and the whole "you lie" thing with Obama look like nothing. Like, that was just nothing compared to the rancor and ruckus and whatever it is that the Republicans thought that it was a good idea to do in the middle of a live, nationally televised event to the entire nation, to see just how absolutely childish they are. Other stuff to talk about, though, before we get into that, we have more evidence has come out in the case in the Memphis police shooting with Tyron Nichols when he was murdered by those police officers. And apparently one of the police officers shared a text message that, you know, of the picture of, you know, Mr. Nichols with one of his friends or whatever. Like, he was texting that image around, like, so it's not just the fact that they did it, they enjoyed it, and they bragged about it, and they were gleeful, I guess, in doing it, because why else would you send a text message of the person you just eviscerated before, you know, him dying three days later or so? So it's just terrible. This is very important, you know. I don't want to. Now, this is State of the Union. State of the Union, you know, is going to take most of the show, most of this conversation, I'm sure, unless we happen to go off topic, which happens from time to time. However, this is Black History Month, and I like to try and bring up stuff with Black History, you know, every week when I can during Black History Month, because I feel as a white person, it's my responsibility to use my privilege to amplify the voices of others and to maybe teach other people about things. One of the interesting things that I kind of never thought about before was the way we talk about slavery in this country, the way we talk about the people who were enslaved in this country. You know, every time we talk about it, we talk about the slaves, we talk about the masters and the slaves. And that's kind of using a very, you know, almost a white supremacist kind of look at the whole thing, because it's taking the view of, you know, you're naming the people as slavery named them, you know, instead of calling them, you know, the victims of slavery or enslaved people. And what made me realize this is I was watching on Hulu the 1619 Project, which is great. I think I have one more episode left. You should watch it. If you have Hulu, watch it. If you don't have Hulu, at least get the free trial and watch it, because it's an excellent thing. Now, there are things, obviously, that I try and remain well informed about topics, and so a lot of the things that I've heard wasn't all that new to me. But it's always good to have a refresher and a reminder. And there are things in the music episode that I learned that were things I didn't know, and, you know, just interesting ways on how, like, you know, music has progressed, and how Black people have, influenced the culture and influenced music, and how white people throughout time have basically just stolen the work of black people and taken credit for it rather than for themselves. Just a history of appropriation, I suppose. But they didn't mention the Beatles, which is interesting because there's some interesting videos about the Beatles, because the Beatles did play a lot of Motown. And they did get rich off of playing a lot of Motown and a lot of other stuff. They kind of got famous by doing that. But one of the things that the Beatles did, which I think differs from a lot of other people at the time, was they not only sung the Motown songs, they gave credit to the people. They're like, look, these are the people whose songs we're singing, and you should probably go listen to them too, because we're just covering their stuff. Go listen to their stuff. I think Smokey Robinson was cited as I was listening to the Beatles channel on SiriusXM a while ago, and Smokey Robinson basically was very thankful to the Beatles for covering their music and covering the music of others from Motown, because he said without them, it would have been harder for them to get more well-known, and they became successful because the Beatles shared that success. But back to the whole enslaved thing, I was just very, you know, we don't think about that. We don't think about how we just, the slaves, the people were slaves. No, the people were enslaved. You know, don't describe somebody by a noun describing what happened to them. Use the people who were enslaved. They were enslaved people. Talk about them, that the slavery was something that was done to them. It's not something that they were. They were people, and they should have not been enslaved, but they were enslaved. So when we're talking about that topic and, you know, maybe other topics, sometimes it's good to kind of rethink what you're talking about, reshape the way you make your arguments in such a way that, you know, humanizes people more. And I think by calling those people who were enslaved as such, I think it works more to humanize them and works more to even push the issue. I mean, we all agree slavery. I mean, most of us, I think, agree that slavery was bad, clearly. I don't know. I think some of these conservatives might want to go back to that. But it's just a great series that you should watch on Hulu if you have the opportunity to. I highly recommend it. Let's see. Shouts out Kimchi, Wes, Jeff, Aaron, Jolie, Stoney, Leanna, Alarasia, Nick, I might say your name twice, I don't know, who else is in there? If you haven't liked, there's 14 concurrent viewers and 12 likes, please make sure to like. If you haven't done so, please make sure to subscribe if you haven't done so. But the main topic of the day, of course, is the State of the Union, and Dark Brandon appeared and used his dark powers to overcome and make the Republican Party look like a bunch of absolute fools. I mean, absolute fools. I mean, more so than they already were them. But, you know, you have George Santos. How can you not? You have George Santos, you have Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert, and you have Matt Pizzagates. How can you not look foolish with those clowns? But, I mean, Biden played him like a Stradivarius. He put on a masterclass of how to have a great State of the Union. Now, of course, he had his stutters because he has a stutter. And, of course, the Republicans are going to be like, oh, well, he's mentally deficient because they can't understand the difference between having a stutter and having a mental deficiency. Donald Trump had the mental deficiency. Being able to say person, woman, man, camera, TV is not something that disproves mental deficiency. Saying hamburgers and covfefe goes ahead, and you know that shows a lot of mental deficiency there. But you know, I was watching it. I was late to my live stream on Twitch to do my gaming because, excuse me, still have a lingering cough because I wanted to make sure that I can continue on live tweeting. If you missed it. You know, I was doing a live tweeting of it. I really wanted to see POTUS snub George Santos. I don't think they showed him snubbing him, but I don't think he got any sort of recognition. He did get recognition from Mitt Romney, because there was a little hoot that happened between Santos and Romney, and how Romney basically said, you shouldn't be there. You should be sitting in the back. You're basically referring to him as the embarrassment that he is. And it's a shame that, you know, you have to look up to Mitt Romney, because Mitt Romney has his own problems and his binder's full of women or whatever. I guess if you're the least, if Romney is one of the least smelly turds on the pile, I mean, it's still a turd, but he's one of the least smelly ones. You know, Biden goes on, he talks about how he's had 12 million new jobs in 2 years, more than any other president has done in four, and it's true. And look, you have to take that within the context in which it was given, and how many of the presidents before him were coming out of a pandemic where people cut jobs and now you're trying to catch back up. So yeah, you're going to have hiring ramping back up, but it just goes to show how good he's done as president, because they were able to ramp up enough to be able to generate those jobs. So the jobs were there to be made, but they got made. Who's to say that they would have gotten made under Donald Trump, and or how well paid they would have been under Donald Trump? One of the things, I guess, before I really talk about the State of the Union of itself, is one thing that I was watching Joy Reid beforehand when it came to before the State of the Union, just to make sure, you know, see what, you know, if I was, things that I should look out for. And Joy Reid mentioned that there was talking about the infrastructure bill, the budget that would go ahead and fight inflation while working on infrastructure. Joy Reid said, a lot of millionaires will be made in red states with the funding of infrastructure work made possible by POTUS. And that's very true. Biden, in the middle of the State of the Union, did say that it doesn't matter if the Republicans voted against it in the Senate or in their districts in the House, that Biden would make sure that there were jobs in their districts too, and that they had infrastructure work done in their districts too. But here's the thing that Democrats need to work on, and they need to do a better job than they've done in the past, is because I remember when Obama got the shovel-ready jobs, and everyone mocked him for saying the shovel-ready jobs, and they were trying to say, oh, they're not shovel-ready, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And, like, Republican governors, especially in, like, Mississippi and Alabama, were mocking Biden for the lack of shovel-ready jobs. But while that was happening, I was driving through Mississippi and Alabama. I think it was on my way probably to Baltimore to go visit my family. And what happened? I thought I had set this to be longer. Okay, well, save. There we go. Anyway, we're no longer 90 seconds away from show close. Driving through Mississippi and Alabama, there were these big signs saying, oh, we're getting to work in Mississippi and Alabama. You know, and with the governor's name right below it. This is because of your governor. Your governor's getting these jobs. No, it wasn't the governor. It was President Obama and the Democratic Congress passing legislation that would get these shovel-ready jobs out there and put people to work. So what the Democrats need to make sure to do is they need to make sure that these Republican governors not only not get credit for it, but they get called out for it whenever they try and take credit for it, and say, no, it's not these Republican governors doing. These Republican governors have fought Biden tooth and nail to try and stop him from implementing these laws, but it's Joe Biden that went ahead and with the Democrats and maybe a minute amount of Republicans who got together, passed this, and made sure that we have growing infrastructure, to make sure that we have an economy that's recovering, and by doing so, by putting up new infrastructure, repairing bridges, fixing roads, building new roads, putting infrastructure like high-speed internet in areas that typically have not had access to them, to be able to get those people to, you know, in rural areas and urban areas and like low-income areas where, as Biden said, parents would have to bring their kids to McDonald's just so they could do their homework on the computers they brought home from school because they couldn't afford internet at home. All of these things that are being done because the Democrats are pushing these things, and we need to make sure as a party that we do not allow the Republicans to take an ounce of credit for the work that was done. I mean, if there was one that voted for it, fine. You can let that person get some recognition for voting for it, especially if their vote was needed. But these governors who oppose it, these are the mainstream Republicans who constantly fight against the GOP and whatever, fight against the DNC, I mean, to fight against Joe Biden and fight against these needed spending that will help renew the economy, they need to be reminded that it's not the Republicans bringing this forward. It's the Democrats doing it, and the Democrats are doing the job that needs to get done in spite of Republican obstruction. As I said, State of the Union is not, as I said, the State of the Union is not strong, but it's the fault of the GOP. They obstruct progress in the economy and social justice and climate and global security, et cetera. Now, Biden, I like the way that Biden worded it as well. He said the State of the Union is strong because of the people in it and because of the backbone that this country was built on, which I think was a great way to word it in such a way that didn't allow. How can you as a Republican oppose that? How is you a Republican stand against it? One of the things about Biden that I like mostly is that he is such an optimist, that he believes in this country. And I don't believe that he says these things just to say them. I really believe that he believes that, you know, we can do anything if we come together and work hard. I believe that he believes that there's nothing that America can't do if we put our mind to it. I believe him on that. I don't think that it's just all talk for elections. I don't think that it's just a show. I mean, partially because of the fact that, you know, my grandparents, who didn't get to see him get elected, which I'm kind of sad about, but my grandparents knew him. They worked for his early campaigns. They always gushed about how good of a person he was. And they, you know, I believe that. I trust their judgment over almost anybody else's. So why would I believe that when he says that he believes that the American people can do great things and nobody can stop the American people from doing what they want to do? I believe that he believes that. Now, some of the things that I think he's optimistic about, you know, like when he started running on the idea that he was going to work together with the GOP to get things done, I think he was a little naive on that. I think he was a little overly optimistic on the possibilities that this Republican Party as today would work with him. I mean, he has had a history of reaching across the aisle and building consensus with a lot of the people that are also still serving in the Senate. But those people change, and those people follow the political winds that lead them to where they need to be in order for them to be able to win elections, and that includes being obstructionist at this point. So I had no faith that there was going to be any meaningful Republican help to Joe Biden getting the stuff that he wanted done. I don't believe at all for a second that Joe Biden was going to get any much if any assistance from these Republicans like Mitch McConnell and even the people that are more to the right of McConnell. And people say, well, who's to the right of McConnell? McConnell is called a rhino by some of these weirdos. So it's amazing. I was like, rhino? Are you kidding me? Mitch McConnell's not a rhino. But then again, you know, we laugh as on the left when people call Joe Biden a socialist. I'm like, he's not a socialist. Come on. I mean, one of the things that pisses off the Young Turks types the most is, and people to the left of them are like, when he goes, I'm a capitalist, and they'll be like, ugh. But I want to talk about something that the Young Turks said. But there is Gibson's in the chat. Hey, cool. We'll deal with the stuff that Gibson Media. What's up? How you doing, Gibson Media? We will deal with some of that stuff. I guess I'll have to scroll back in the chat because I've been kind of on a roll recently. But here's the thing. Here is my favorite part of the State of the Union last night. My absolute favorite part, and I guarantee you know what it is, but we need to listen to it again because this is part of how Dark Brandon put on a masterclass of how to not only have a great State of the Union, but to absolutely own the Republicans in that room.
So some of my Republican friends want to take the economy hostage. I get it, unless I agree to their economic plans. All of you at home should know what those plans are. Instead of making the wealthy pay their fair share, some Republicans want Medicare and Social Security to sunset. I'm not saying it's a majority. Let me give you, anybody who doubts it, contact my office. I'll give you a copy of the proposal. That means Congress doesn't vote. Well, I'm glad to see you. No, I tell you, I enjoy conversion. You know, it means if Congress doesn't keep the programs the way they are, they'd go away. Other Republicans say, I'm not saying it's a majority of you. I don't even think it's even a significant, but it's being proposed by individuals. I'm not politely not naming them, but it's being proposed by some of you. Look, folks, the idea is that we're not going to be moved into being threatened to default on the debt if we don't respond. Folks, as we all apparently agree, Social Security and Medicare is off the books now, right? They're not to be spot.
I mean, when he did that, I was just like, wow, that was masterfully done. I don't know if that part was scripted or not, or if he went off script when he did that, when they all started booing. And first of all, the lack of decorum on the Republicans in that house, in those chambers, were just deplorable. No one should be surprised, because many of them are those who would belong in the basket of deplorables. But much worse than Barton's, you lie, much worse than that. But for him to be able to say, look, A, I'll give you the receipts. I'll show you the proposals, which Rick Scott and Ron Johnson are the two people that are proposing these. And these are not lesser known oddball Republicans that have no notoriety and they'll never happen in the first place. Rick Scott was former governor of Florida. Ron Johnson is a very loud, annoying piece of crap from, I think, Wisconsin. Like, these are well-known Republicans pushing these things. And I think Ron Johnson wants to vote every year on whether or not to allow Medicaid to sunset, or one of the social programs to sunset. It's absolutely ridiculous what Ron Johnson wants to do, and it's ridiculous what Rick Scott wants to do. But yeah, you had Marjorie Taylor Greene pointing at like the angry woman pointing at the cat in that meme. I shared that meme. That's brilliant. That was that assault today. The Republicans are like booing him. Like, we don't believe that. We don't want that. And Biden's like, okay, good. Then it's off the table. We're clearly not going to be pushing to eliminate Social Security and Medicare, are we? And I'm just like, you just got the Republicans to agree with you, to back you on what you want. You pushed them into a corner and you made them show their true colors, and you also made them not only show like they're the children that they are, but you got them to basically at the end of the day support what you want. And they either say no, we don't agree with Biden, and then they say, then you have to explain why you don't agree with Biden, but still, why are you saying that Biden's a liar? Or you have to then face your voters who are mad that you're not fighting to end these social programs that your voters hate. Again, nobody should be surprised at how good Joe Biden is at this. Joe Biden, one of the criticisms that a lot of Republicans make about Joe Biden is that he's been in Washington for 50 years or so. Like, I think his first State of the Union was in 74. I think that's the first State of the Union that he attended was in 1974, 49 years ago. Now, that being said, guess what? That means he's watched 49. He knows how a State of the Union is supposed to go. He's seen successful ones. He's seen bad ones. He knows what to do. He knows what not to do. And here's the embarrassing thing on the part of Republicans. The Republicans of Sony, of course, they don't realize that they took the bait. They probably don't understand what the bait was in the first place, at least a vast bunch of them. So, you know, again, Biden knows what to do. He knows what not to do. He's seen good State of the Union addresses. He's seen bad State of the Union addresses. He knows what works. He knows what doesn't. And what's absolutely embarrassing on the part of the Republican Party is that the Republican Party especially the pundits, like to talk about how they believe that Joe Biden is mentally deficient, how he is somehow, you know, somebody, he's a puppet of like Obama, or he's a puppet of Jill, or he's a puppet of other special interests and of China or whatever, even though him shooting down the balloons pissed off China. He's done this for so long, and if he's this as bad as they say he is, which he's not, but if he is as bad as they say he is when it comes to mental deficiencies, guess what? You got played by somebody with those mental deficiencies. You got your asses handed to you by somebody who you consistently claim lacks the mental acuity for the position. Now, we have Boebert, who, you know, congratulations on Boebert for getting the GED after the fourth or fifth time, but math hasn't been her strong suit, according to some of the tweets that I've seen that are verified hers and not just memes made to make fun of her. Green, I mean, those idiots just, hey, Paddywhack, thank you. So if again, they think that he's so mentally deficient, they think that he's so terrible and lacks that cognitive ability, yet he beat you last night. He beat you so bad. As I joked around last night, somebody needs to remind Joe Biden of the 13th Amendment, because he's owning these Republicans and owning people is no longer allowed. So, what's up, Crimson? Thank you for here. Thank you for following me over there too, as well. And a lot of those Republicans who watch, a lot of the conservatives who probably didn't watch, but are just who will just watch or listen to the shows afterwards, will just sit there and believe what the conservative pundits, what the conservative talking heads are saying, because again, they like to be low-educated voters. That's what Donald Trump loves. Donald Trump admitted he loves the low-educated voters because he knows that he can con them. The Republican, the conservatives know that they can con these low-information voters. So they won't necessarily see how Biden owned them. But there's a segment of this population who will have watched last night and will understand why Joe Biden is and how he got there, and how he's playing 3D chess while the Republicans are playing fiddlesticks. He is so much better than he lets you believe it is. I wouldn't be surprised, frankly, if some of the stuff that, I mean, I believe he has a stutter. I don't think he puts on a stutter. I believe he has a stutter. But I would not put it past him to think that he's just... You ever saw the Saturday, this is a long time ago, Phil Hartman played Ronald Reagan in a Saturday Night Live sketch, a long time ago. If you haven't seen it, try and look it up on YouTube or whatever. And we'll get to what Gibson's saying in there, in the chat in a second. But Phil Hartman playing Ronald Reagan, he like would have a Boy Scout come in or whatever. Like somebody who was getting to meet the president, and he would come in and be, "Well, it's such a good, nice to meet you. You've become an Eagle Scout. I'm very proud of you." Or, "You've sold some Girl Scout cookies for the Girl Scout," or whatever. I don't know if it's a Boy Scout or Girl Scout. It's been a long time. "You've done such a good job, and he's just very well spoken, very like, you know, well, you know, the whole people that people thought that Reagan was kind of losing it at the end. But then as soon as the guests left the room and it was like only his staff involved, he'd be like, all right, let's go. Let's do this. We're going to do this, that, whatever. And he became very high energy and he was on the ball and everything like that. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is what Joe Biden was actually doing, allowing the Republicans, giving the Republicans enough rope to make him think, to make them think that he's not all there. And then he just slams them with the rope-a-dope. So, Wes, I think Fiddlesticks might be something different, but I don't know. It's been a while since I played Fiddlesticks, but I tried to pick a game, Wes, that was even easier than checkers, because usually it's they're playing chess, he's playing checkers. Well, Biden's playing 3D chess, and these people are like moving the checkers around the board, not drooling. Like, there you go. So, I mean, it's clear, that was my favorite part, clearly, of the state. I think it was everybody's favorite part of the State Union who supports Joe Biden, because even the people who don't support Joe Biden, you know, who are on the left, who don't like the Republicans, were like, damn, he got them good. And even for a second, the Young Turks were cheering them on. There was a bit where Biden was calling them out on their plans and how they want to sunset it. And Anna and Cenk are just like, yeah, tell him, yeah. And all of a sudden, they get angry because he's like, this is your moment. Don't argue with them. Don't debate with them. Again, Cenk and Anna don't understand what – he didn't understand what he was doing. Now, the clip that I saw didn't show the end of it, so I don't know if they finally realized what it was that Biden was doing when he did what he did by enabling him to be able to say, good, I'm glad you all agree. I'm glad you all have converted to supporting Social Security and Medicare. And see, initially I thought when he said, I love conversion, I thought he was misspeaking. I thought he went to like conversation or something, but no, he meant conversion. He loves converting people to his side of to his point of view. And he basically was saying, I love that you all have converted to supporting me. Now, he did say something, he said, he didn't say off the table. He said something else that, again, could have been taken differently, whatever. But again, Democrats, for my entire life, have been horrible wordsmiths too, so there's always that to deal with as well. But the fact that Anna and Cenk were just not even getting what he was doing, I mean, I was just sitting there watching it like, good, I'm glad he's calling them out. I'm glad he's not putting up with their BS. He's not letting the Republicans just boo him and walk over him. He said, you know, oh, you're going to call me a liar? Come to my office and I'll show you the receipts. Come to my office and I will show you the paper. I will show you the documents. I'll show you the proposals that these people who, I guess he was trying to be nice and not name, and the Republicans were like, well, who is it? One of the Republican Congress people was like, who is it? Well, I mean, it's Rick Scott and Ron Johnson. But he was trying to have decorum in and of itself by not calling individual people out. But he played them so perfectly. All right, who's calling? Put it in the chat if you're calling. Because, again, I don't know who it is. And it might be Gibson. I don't know. I don't remember the number if it is. Anyway, so another – that's basically the end of that little segment, that little discussion of what I wanted to and also if you're calling and you want to talk, make sure to hit the one button so I see your hand raised. I'm not seeing anything in the chat. Just let me know. If I miss it, let me know. Repeat it or whatever. I had wondered early on in the night who this designated survivor was. Labor Secretary Marty Walsh was designated survivor for the 2023 State of the Union. Now, to me, Walsh's labor secretary is 11th in line, presidential line of succession. Walsh is expected to step down from his job to take over head of the National Hockey League Players Association. Okay. But basically, if you don't know, they basically name one person who is in the official line of succession. So if somebody nuked Congress and killed everybody there, we'd have somebody who would officially take over as president. Oh, Elizabeth is calling. Okay, cool. So I guess before we get to the other additional topics, we will get to Elizabeth. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hello.
Welcome back on. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well.
I
can hear you perfectly. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Perfect. That's what you got to say.
Oh, well then, first of all, it was hilarious. I just, Kevin McCarthy, the look on his face, I mean, oh my God, that was hilarious. And then,
first he's like, no, trying to disagree. But then when his people were being really different, he's just like, shh, come on. He's like trying to tell his people to shut up. Like, y'all are getting a little too out of hand. And, you know, Nancy wouldn't have put up with that. That's for darn. People may say good things or bad things about Pelosi. Nancy wouldn't put up with that. People would have gotten in line for Nancy for that, at least. they would have kept in line.
But the master statescraft that Biden showed, and then the whole dissing of Santos, the whole party is fractured. Not only that, but any Republicans that were sitting or were not ones that were anywhere even starting to be a normal human being, that were
right,
not the MAGA group, that were even just a little bit kind of on the fence about going along with Democrats. I don't know. Biden may have pulled enough over to get past, even because the Senate was there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
So Biden may have been able to pull enough Republicans in his direction to really put – there's going to be a critical mass. At some point, these guys are going to just absolutely – they're either going to get arrested or they're going to be voted out. So,
right,
you know, I think it was brilliant in the way he just kind of held it, everybody together, isolated them. So that anyway, that's one take on it, but I just can't stop laughing. I can't stop laughing at the look on Kevin's face.
So, well, and the one thing that's interesting to think about is I don't know if the Republican Party have agreed with with kind of their informal policies that Newt Gingrich used to have, which was nothing saw the floor unless a majority of the majority agreed with it. So, which means if the Republicans are in the majority,
right?
It's not even a super majority. It's a super minority almost, the majority of the majority. So if you have however many, like 220 Republicans or whatever, you would have to have 111 Republicans agreeing to put something on the floor in order for something to go to the floor. So you could want to have, so you could have every Democrat and 20 Republicans or even 50 Republicans be like, hey, we want to pass this law. And under the whole majority of the majority thing that started under Newt Gingrich, I think it started under Newt Gingrich. I know Newt used it. I don't know if it was used prior to him, but I know it was made popular by him. I don't know, if McCarthy is going, he probably is, but I don't think it's an official rule of the House, but I think it's an unofficial rule of the party that they won't put anything on the floor unless the majority of their delegation wants it. So if you have all the Democrats and 50 Republicans saying, hey, we want to vote for this, it's very well possible that even if Biden managed to pull over a decent chunk of the Republicans to vote on a particular issue, let alone on any issue, McCarthy could still block it because it doesn't have a majority of the minority. And in fact, McCarthy is so weak with all of the concessions he had to make to get in after the 15th vote or on the 15th vote that, like, he has to not just worry about the majority of the majority. He has to worry about a super minority of the majority. He has to worry about that he might lose enough people that they would lose confidence in him and bring up another vote for another speaker to take over, because it just takes six, maybe even four, five.
The thing is they're factionalizing. They're factionalizing. They're
right,
breaking off into smaller and smaller little subgroups. Those that are MAGA, those that are not, you know, first it's Republicans, then it's Republicans that are MAGA and not MAGA. Then it's MAGA that are not as MAGA as the other MAGA. you know?
Right.
So, I mean, I'm just kind of like watching them kind of disintegrate. And then the ones that get arrested are going to change things too. So, because I just do have feeling the Ides of March are coming for a few of them. And I also do have, I do believe that Joe demonstrated the majority view in this country. He demonstrated
right.
really how very unpopular Republicans at policy, whatever they're thinking of. I don't think it's a policy really, but
right.
are you know doing so. Yeah. Anyway, all right. Maybe somebody else wants to call in. I don't want to like monopolize the time, but I thought I should at least call in and say my 2 cents.
Well, I appreciate your 2 cents are worth much more than 2 cents on Liberal Dan. So I appreciate you.
Well, you.
I'm very happy for you to call in. Appreciate it. And you have a good continue watching. If you want to call back in if you don't have anything else to interject. So appreciate you as always.
You too, Liberal Dan. Thank you very much for having
me. All right. All right. You're welcome.
In the chat. Bye.
So yeah, so it was just so what's interesting is that like even during the whole speaker selection process, you even had a fracturing between Bobo the Clown and MTG, MTG is how I use the caller by the hashtag. I mean, you had them going after each other. I mean, Bobo the Clown mocked MTG for the space laser thing. I'm like, now it would have been nice if we would have had our space lasers because we could have easily shot down the balloon at that point, just like pew pew. But one of the other things that I found interesting, and I'm going to get more back into the chat in a little bit, I'm just kind of rolling here, is that, you know, all of the things that the Republicans clapped for and stood for and the things that they didn't stand for, like Biden talks about the creation of new manufacturing jobs and the production of new exports, things that we as a country can export overseas. Republicans didn't stand over that. McCarthy didn't applaud over that. When Biden was talking about growing up the middle class and letting the poor get a ladder to climb up to the middle class, basically not buying into the whole trickle-down economics bullcrap that the Republicans love to talk about, but basically saying, look, you help grow the middle class, you help give the poor people a ladder to climb up to the middle class, and yeah, the wealthy people are still going to be wealthy and they're still going to do fine. They're still going to have a bunch of money, but you're going to have make sure that more of the people in this country are successful if you work on growing the middle class and expanding the ability of more people to enter the middle class. I guess if everybody became middle class, it would no longer be the middle class, but at least that class of citizen would not be somebody that was reliant on everybody else and could afford just to support themselves as long as we made sure that they have good paying jobs and that we can't have people taking advantage of them. I mean, there people are calling BS on Biden's comment about non-compete clause for fast food workers, but there was a lawsuit in Florida over that particular issue. Basically, preventing a fast food restaurant from so-called poaching other fast food employees or whatever. Like, it's ridiculous. The amount of this is just one of the reasons in general why, you know, we need things like universal basic income, because with a universal basic income, people would be able to, you could dump the minimum wage at that point because everyone will have the minimum amount that they need to survive because they'll have the universal basic income. And then when they try and get jobs, they'll have an equal playing field. They'll be able to say, look, well, I want to make this extra money. And you want me to work in this extra money, but it's not worth it for me to come work for you unless you pay me a reasonable amount of money for me to come work, instead of having a situation where you have all of these jobs that are priced inelastic and the employers can say, well, I'm going to pay the lowest as possible. It's kind of like, you know, employers who pay a minimum wage are like Leonardo DiCaprio when it comes to dating. The minimum wage is like the age of consent. If the minimum wage went away without any sort of other thing involved to stop this from happening, wages would drop because they would want to go lower than what the minimum wage is. Just like the age of consent, if the age of consent was lower, the people who are the adults targeting 18-year-olds to date would then go lower. So little jab there at what's going on. I mean, apparently Leonardo DiCaprio is not dating the person who they is not dating the person who people they said that he was dating. It still doesn't change the fact that he has had some very questionable dating choices in that he breaks up with people right before they turn 26 or something. Let's see. McCarthy did like microchips because he applauded for the microchips, but not for the manufacturing jobs, which kind of baffled me. I didn't quite understand that. And the infrastructure bill, the Republicans in the House did, many Republicans in the House did not stand to applaud the infrastructure bill, even though many of those Republicans will have infrastructure being built in their districts, paid for by this plan, and of course they'll take credit for it, and we can't let them. One of the things that I did like, though, one of the other great parts of the thing, of the of his speech, was when he was talking about the people. He basically said, look, you know, again, Biden is not going to play games with the American people when it comes to, you know, building. He's not going to not build something because it's in a red district. And when he said, and really, I loved the petty from him, when he's like, for the Republicans that voted for the bill, I thank you. The Republicans who vote against the bill, I'm still going to build things in your districts, and I'll see you at the groundbreaking. When he said, I'll see you at the groundbreaking, I just about died. Because, I mean, come on. That's just the ultimate amount of petty. Like, he's like, I know you're going to be there. I know you're going to try and take credit for this. I'll be there to make sure that people know the record and set the record straight. And we need to make sure that happens in every single circumstance. Want Joe Biden there at every groundbreaking, or somebody else, Pete Buttigieg, Kamala Harris, somebody who is maybe a Democratic governor if it's a red district, somebody out there who's going to say thank you to Joe Biden for getting this fund. Thanks for the Democratic Congress for getting us these funds to build this infrastructure so that we put people to work in this country. No thanks to the Republicans. And I even point out, he voted against it. He's here taking credit for it, but he voted against it. Don't play nice with these people. Play hardball, because you know that they would play hardball with you. That's one of the things that frustrates me a lot about the Democratic Party, is their refusal to play hardball, which is the thing that about Biden. Biden will talk to the people, and he'll say the wonderful things about them, but he also is not afraid to speak up and tell Trump, well, you just shut the hell up, man. Or he'll basically call you out on your BS. He will absolutely call you out on your BS, too. Don't bring the BS to Biden, because he will call it out. And I was hoping that hashtag see what the groundbreaking would become a trending topic or whatever. They showed Steve Scalise, one of the congressmen that I actually know in person. I've met him in person. We've had conversations back in 2004. Briefly, he was in the election that I was running for as well. I saw him at a tech thing, and we had a conversation about stuff. He shook his head at people wanting at the idea that people should have more access to health care. Come on. I basically said, Steve, you should be ashamed. One of the other things that was happening last night was the pins that people were wearing. You had saw a lot of 1870 pins, and then I believe I'm correct, and you can correct me in the chat if I'm wrong. I think that was the first noted example of a black person being killed by the cops. And so it was black pin, white lettering, 1870. I think it was white lettering. It might have been an off-white or whatever. But then you had the Republicans wearing the AR-15 pins, I guess, over on this side. On their left side, because, you know, instead of regular American flag pins, it was AR-15 pins. But of course, the Democrats were wearing abortion pins and stand in support of body autonomy. And of course, Elizabeth Warren was wearing a Crayola pin, which I thought was great. I thought that was genius. I'm surprised that there weren't people actually wearing Nazi pins. Instead of having an AR-15, they put a German Mauser on it or something. I think I said amen to when Biden said that we should quadruple the tax on stock buybacks, because this is what people do. We give these corporations money, or they get money. They bilk the American people like the oil companies are doing, and then instead of putting it back and reinvesting and into maybe a little bit more drilling so that they can, you know, produce more and reduce the costs, or paying their workers more or stuff like that. No, they do stock buybacks to benefit the shareholders and the CEOs. The CEO, I guess I should say. So I don't know if quadrupling the tax on stock buybacks is even enough. There should just be clear fines for doing things like getting federal tax dollars to spend on things and then using money to buy back your stocks instead of reinjecting that money back into the economy. There should be always be an incentive to inject money into the economy and not to just do BS like stock buybacks. Kind of like what we want to do with the corporations, the pharmaceutical companies, who if they raise the prices on their drugs by more than inflation is that year, then they're going to have to pay a fine back to Medicare to recoup the cost difference because they're being, you know, selfish and greedy. So is that, let's scroll up a bit. See, somebody said, okay, the exchange about the debt and social programs was a masterclass, Parliament-style brilliance. And I was like, I don't want anyone trying to turn his known stutter into claiming his diminished mental capacities. He just played the GOP like a fiddle. It's pure brilliance. So that was something I tweeted last night. Of course, somebody tweeted that Dark Brandon showed up. Brilliant move. Get everybody gushing over my favorite part. President says workers have the right to form a union. And, of course, I'm sure Republicans are going to disagree with that. But I would say, that if the Constitution protects the rights of workers before you form a union, because the Constitution guarantees the freedom to assemble. So workers should be able to assemble and form a union. And businesses should not be able to bust that up and prevent them from doing so. And one of the other things that I don't understand about conservatives is that they will be apologists for every bad business decision that is made that harms labor. But they complain when they'll like support Donald Trump when he negotiates with people after signing an agreement to say, look, I said I was going to pay you X, but now I want to pay you Y, which is significantly less than X. You can either sue me or you can just pay me Y instead. And they'll applaud, oh, that's good business practices. But if you're a union and you negotiate something that says everybody who works here is going to be a union guy, or at least is going to pay union dues, even if they don't want to participate in the union, that should be the right of the union to do so. And if the business and the union sign that, it's none of the government's business to say, well, no, you can't do that. And what's ridiculous with some of these laws now that are on the books when it comes to these union busting type laws is they basically require, they basically say that you don't have to pay the union dues if you don't feel like it, but still require that the union cover them in labor disputes, cover them for with legal protection or what have you. But like, I guarantee you, if you wanted to have the Chamber of Commerce, if you told the Chamber of Commerce that they had to defend all businesses in the area, not just the dues payers, the Chamber of Commerce would be upset. Would be absolutely upset at the whole act. Of course, POTUS wants to go after the people who took advantage of the loans and the grants and who basically stole them and prevented people who really needed those funds. So I was like, hey, can POTUS go after Fogo restaurants, Fogo de Chao, for taking the PPP loans they don't need? I'm very still annoyed at Fogo for doing that. The only reason I would go to Fogo after they pulled those shenanigans is simply because of the fact that there's not many places for my wife to eat as somebody with celiac, and as such, we can't be as picky with where we decide to go. But screw Chick-fil-A. Anyway, I think, is this maybe Wes? Hello? Who's this?
Patty Wack.
Hey, Patty Wack, what's going on?
Well, this is kind of off topic. that in mid-February. My mom started showing signs of something being really wrong, and they've diagnosed her with Alzheimer's, and she was in the hospital for about 11 days because my brother gave her COVID while she was, or probably before she went in, and the COVID probably exasperated her situation. She became combative, and I had to sit her down in a chair and tell her she wasn't leaving because she packed her bags and she was going to go to Minnesota. And the thing I want to bring up is healthcare, and you mentioned it. My mom was a school teacher, retired, and her Medicare is not going to cover any of her expenses to go into a nursing home at all. If she applies for Medicaid, it'll cover a small portion of it. And they're telling us that we need to get end-of-life care insurance. Have you ever heard of that?
Vaguely. I don't know enough about that at this point in time to really have an educated view on it. However, I do want to do a show about it at some point. I think that there's a whole show's worth there about what happens with nursing homes and when people go into nursing homes and the shenanigans that are pulled with nursing homes and what they do with your property and your home or whatever and your personal home. I think there's a whole show there to be had, and I do want to have it because it's briefly come up because my mother-in-law is currently living with us. She had to go into it wasn't hospice care, but it was at a place that also does hospice. And so she was getting some treatment there for her condition post-surgery. And then she went back to the hospital. Then she went with us. And then she went back to the hospital. Now she's back with us. But there's a possibility there that at some point, you know, if things, you know, don't go, I hope they get better. They look like they're getting better. But if they don't and we can't and she can't just, you know, and she needs to have more care than we can give, we have to cross that bridge. And there's some horrible things that I've heard. I've heard horror stories about that. But yeah, I'm absolutely surprised. Medicare should cover that, and it doesn't. I haven't really gotten into knowing what end-of-life insurance is. I'm sure it's horrible. I'm sure it's not very cost-effective. It's unfortunate what we put people, especially seniors who teach, who took a lower salary job to help educate, you know, the future doctors and lawyers and everybody of America. And then at the end of their life, they get crapped on. Louisiana did a doozy to teachers. If you are a teacher in Louisiana, you don't get Social Security. You can't get Social Security. You don't put into it, but you can't get it. And you can't even get Social Security for your spousal benefits. So my mother-in-law, for example, was married and he got Social Security, but she could not collect his Social Security benefits as another spouse would be able to, because she, as a retired teacher in Louisiana, and Louisiana didn't opt in to do the Social Security stuff, she can't get his death benefits or whatever. It's absolutely absurd how they treat old people, especially how they treat teachers.
Another thing that really concerned me was we took her to the ER, or my brother did, on a Friday, and they said, we don't have a bed for her, and they just sent her home with my brother. Then we took her to her doctor on Tuesday, and she was clearly just out there. And it was her primary care physician is a nurse practitioner. And she kind of like took some notes and didn't give us any direction. And by that evening is when my mom had the meltdown and she packed her bags and was going to try to leave. And I had to intervene on that. My brother called me and said, this is going really bad. We took her back to the ER. So twice she was in the ER and they did blood tests. But it wasn't until she was in the hospital that they figured out she was low, had really low levels of vitamin B12, which can affect this your mental status. I told them I wanted to have an actual neurologist examine her, and what they did was a precursory test that really isn't meant to give you a diagnosis. And then they said, we're not doing any further testing. Mm-hmm. So right now, she's very lucid, and she's home with my brother and sister, and they're looking for a place to place her. She's almost like normal, except there's a few little quirky things. But she's nothing like when we took her in. I think the COVID, the low vitamin B12 really set this whole thing in motion. The healthcare system in my state I'm going to say it sucks.
Mm-hmm. Where do you live? What state do you live in?
Iowa.
Not surprised.
Yeah. If you go to the University of Iowa, you get better care. But we don't live there, you know, and they took her here where I live. And this hospital here, I'm getting horrible health care. I've gone to two different doctors here. I quit my first doctor because right after Roe versus Wade happened, or not Roe, you know, the Dobbs decision.
Yeah.
I was upset, and this male doctor was like, oh, you mean the whole Roe thing? He was just like that. Oh, you mean the whole, hell yeah, the whole Roe thing? What do you think I'm upset about?
Right.
I dumped him for a woman, and she's not any better. She's about as engaged as a fish, you know, so I don't know. I just feel like my mother isn't being diagnosed correctly. And it almost feels like they're just like, get her into a home so we can rip her off, you know.
I'm sure there are interests there that want that to happen. Is there at the hospital or whatever, or with whatever, was there a social worker at the hospital that could be dealt with?
We had palliative care, a social worker. I actually talked to the doctor, and he gave me about 15 minutes of his time. But he just said, well, yeah, she's in second stage of Alzheimer's. Well, how did you figure that out, genius? You didn't do any tests, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
The state of our health care. I mean, it's one of the reasons why I support universal health care, why I support Medicare for All. Medicare for All should cover things like that too. Like if your health requires you to stay in a place where you can get, you know, regular care like a nursing home would be, I mean, that should be covered because it's something pertaining to your health. And unfortunately it's not. Again, the nursing home thing, I could do a whole show on it. There are lots of things that I want to do whole shows on, but this is definitely one of them that I want to do, and I'm going to feel like I'm going to have to do some more investigation into it simply because of the fact that it might also be something that me and my wife may have to be looking into, because a lot of times you have to, like, give up the house. Like, you have to basically sign the rights to the house over in order for...
Mom knew what they did to other people, and she put everything in everybody else's name that she owned. So,
right. Well, that's one of the things that back after Katrina, there was a mix-up, and my wife had inherited a separate house that my her dad had owned, but the person who put the names on the titles, instead of putting her name on the one and her mom's name on the other, they put both of their names on both. So of course, when my wife tried to sell the property, she had to get my mother-in-law to sign it. But now, because my wife's name is on that house, so they can't easily come after the house because she's had her name on the house since 2007. So that's now 16 years, and it'd be much harder for them to come after it as they would for other situations. But it's almost like you kind of have to know the games that they play early on to be able to make sure that they can't take advantage of it. So I'm very sorry you're going through that. I'll make sure, you know, that I'll publicize it more or whatever if I'm going to do one of those shows dealing with the nursing home issues, and maybe you could definitely call back and talk about, you know, some of the stuff that, you know, additional stuff that you've dealt with, if there's been any more, and then maybe we can do some, maybe try and get maybe a subject matter expert on it as well to see if we could get down to the bottom of some of this as well. So, but thank you, Patty. Anything else you want to throw in?
Well, I'll just add this. She had a small life insurance policy. It wasn't huge or anything. But if she dies, the nursing home will get it now, not us.
Mm. So again, that they're out for the money. Like they, look, understandably, you know, the other side of the coin is that they're a business and they have to make money and to be able to afford whatever it is that they're doing. But the way that it's done just seems so sketchy that it makes me not trust the whole thing. So, and it seems like, as you said, it's a rat. It seems like it's a racket meant to take advantage of the elderly. And if enough people are saying that it's a racket to take advantage of the elderly, it probably is. I don't think all of us are cuckoo. So, I mean.
Well, and I will privatize Medicaid. So that's a big, big messed up deal too. I mean, it's a mess.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you, Patty, for calling in. I'm sorry you're having to deal with that. You know, we all here, you know, care about you and want to make sure and send you all the good wishes. I'm sure everybody in the chat was very supportive of you as well. Feel free, you know, if you have any other information about it, you want to email me, liberaldanradio@gmail.com. And if you email me, then I can email you back when I'm able to do that show. If I do the show on nursing homes anytime in the near future. So,
okay, well,
again, thank you very much for calling. I appreciate you very much. And you have a great rest of your night.
You too. I'm sure going to learn a lot more, so I'll be sending you some info.
All right.
Take
awesome.
Care.
Thank you. You as well.
Okay.
And also, if you want to shoot me out, if there's anything that, Patty, that you want to, you know, throw in, if there's any help that needs to be done when it comes to that, you know, I'm sure the people in our group would be more than happy to put up a GoFundMe or whatever and to help out with that as well. So if you email me that link or if you get that link to Jolie or Aaron, I'm sure that we will be happily share that to you if you decide to go that route to try and help cover some of the costs that are involved with your mom as well. So again, you know, because I want to support y'all and we need to support the people who need it the most. See, back to the State of the Union. A couple more things I want to talk about before I end. There was a point where Biden was talking about the young woman who had passed away from a drug overdose. I guess she had taken a drug and it kind of turned out being, either bad fentanyl or laced with fentanyl, and she ended up dying because of it. She had fallen into a cycle of drug use. Paddywhack, just email me, liberaldanradio, just all one word @gmail.com, and I'll be able to send you an email, whatever. And we can discuss anything else that you might have on that. Don't put your email in the chat, Patty. Just send me an email, liberaldanradio@gmail. Let's see. So this young woman died, unfortunately, from drug overdose. And the GOP were basically trying to claim that it was Joe Biden's fault. She died 8 years ago. It's not Joe Biden's fault that it happened. This is one of the other things that just baffles me about the Republican Party. We all know, I might have talked about this before, but I'll say it again, whatever. We all know that Donald Trump admitted to Bob Woodward that he likes to sugarcoat things, that he doesn't like to say the whole deal. Like he basically said, he likes to downplay things. He downplayed the threat of COVID. He told us that it was no worse than the flu. He told Woodward that it was absolutely worse than the flu. Absolutely. He likes to downplay things. He wanted to downplay things when it came to testing. He didn't want to show the real amount of numbers that we had of COVID in this country because he thought it would make him look bad, despite the fact that if he would have tested properly and thoroughly, we might have been able to get a handle on the whole thing much more quickly. but I don't believe anything. I believe that either Trump either wasn't going after the drugs coming into this country because he didn't want to show, he wanted to show, I guess, that he was going after it a little bit, but he didn't want it to look like it was a bad problem. Or maybe he just put the numbers down or whatever. But I have no reason to believe that Trump was doing all he could to stop drugs from coming across the border, and that magically since Biden came across that it's now swelling up to the record numbers. No, Biden is stopping more drugs from crossing into this country, so he's protecting the people in this country from bad fentanyl, from these drugs. So, and then of course, it's always like, does the GOP make money off of these fentanyl sales? Because why else would they complain that Joe Biden has stopped them from entering the company, from entering the country? It's absurd. Let's see. Lack of decorum by the GOP is shameful. It's not surprising, but it was shameful. I teared up a little bit when it came to the story about the young girl who was trying to fight her cancer or leukemia or whatever it was. And like the dad was sitting there and he was tearing up, and the girl's still living. She's still fighting it. And she's hopefully it's working towards remission. I don't know. Still have no idea why Bono was there. Maybe you can throw in, it in chat as to why Bono was in the audience last night. If somebody says it wasn't the Grammys, maybe he missed the Grammys. I don't know. Biden stood up and he said he didn't mention the Supreme Court, but he said Roe versus Wade was overturned and criticized that, which was good that he said that. There are some people who are on Twitter begrudging Biden for not bringing up the student loan issue because he didn't mention it at all. And I was like, well, he probably didn't bring it up because he's probably playing that more close to the vest simply because of the fact that there are lawsuits going on pertaining to it. And it's probably a good idea to not discuss what the lawsuit that's going on right now. So it's probably why I didn't bring up student loan debt, because we all know that Biden wanted to cancel a chunk of student loan debt for a certain amount of people in the country. So it's important to him. It's just probably best to keep it on the QT while the lawsuits are going around or whatever. So let's see, Biden Inflation and Drug Reduction Act, half insulin at $35. He wants to do it for all. The GOP won't get behind that. And somebody responded to me was like, that's a lie. Trump did that. I'm like, no. Trump did sign an executive order that made both insulin and EpiPens cheaper, but it was only for people going to a certain subset of clinics. Like it was a certain specific subset of clinics in this country. And I looked up how many people go to those clinics, how many patients are treated by those clinics each year. And then I looked at what percentage of the population either requires insulin, EpiPens, or requires insulin, extrapolated the data, and basically said that this executive order for Donald Trump only helps like 0.5% of all Americans in this country. Like, it doesn't help anybody. Now, good for those Americans who it helped, but it was nothing. It's like a fly landing on me and somebody saying you got knocked out by a fly. church lady, is it the Grammys or Satan? Yeah. Thank you, Patty. Mike. I'll definitely check it out. The AIDS Foundation, Bono started with Bush. Ah, okay. He did bring up the AIDS Foundation, so maybe that's why. Okay. Somebody questioned me on Twitter what the whole crayon thing was about. I think I took the Elizabeth Warren thing as her supporting pre-K-4 and wanting funding for universal pre-K-4. Maybe I'm wrong. But, you know, supporting students with the Crayola crayon instead of supporting gun manufacturers and by wearing a gun. Like, to me, it's pretty clear. If it's not supportive universal pre-K-4, it's supportive children being safe in the classroom and not being under threat of being assaulted by people armed to the teeth with weapons. I think that's about it that I had covered for the thing. Let's kind of on South Park, Bono was the largest turn ever taken. Nice. Another caller. Hello.
Hey, my name's Khalil. I'm calling from Charlottesville.
Wait. You're who from who?
Khalil calls from Charlottesville, Virginia.
Okay. How are you tonight?
Pretty good. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there. What you want to talk about?
How with this thing with the schools and the shootings.
Okay.
I'm glad he owned them. But I'm kind of hoping that one day someone will address the fact that a lot of these people that will call a person a hypocrite for shooting guns in movies that are fake or bring up cars and stuff but don't want someone to counter their analogies. I'm hoping that someone calls them out for that too because, like, I've noticed that with one thing, at least with the car analogy, they'll bring up how cars kill as much people as guns, but you know, ban them. But then when someone counters the analogy about how cars have more safety features than guns, all of a sudden now they're saying you don't have the right to a car as you do a gun. It's like, why weren't you saying that when your side was, I mean, not you, but why wasn't the right saying that when their side was bringing up cars? It didn't make sense.
Exactly. Well, they often like to use bad analogies when they think it's useful to them, and then when they get called out on it, they'll pivot to something else. So yeah, it's absurd. I mean, I absolutely agree that you know, they're bad. I mean, one of the things that I don't understand that these conservatives, how they're able to do so well being as bad as they are when it comes to these things. Like, some of the arguments that they make are just absolutely terrible. Not to say that Democrats don't make bad arguments, too. I've often criticized Democrats for being poor wordsmiths. But even then, like, some of the counter arguments that are made by the Republicans, like, you know, trying to compare the guns to cars or whatever, and then it's absurd. Because, yeah, we have more safety features in cars. And, you know, I don't buy the whole... You know, they'll say that we don't have a right to own a car because the right to own a car is not enumerated in the Constitution, of course. And let me pull this up so that everybody can read it, because that is a argument that is often used by. Ooh, I did put that lower. Let's see. Let's put that image higher. Because it needs to be higher when it's up there. The Ninth Amendment, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people, i.e. rights don't have to be enumerated in the Constitution in order for them to be protected in the Constitution. To me, you should have the right to own any item as long as you're not a threat to somebody else. But be to have that item, you know, be a car, or be a gun, be whatever, a power tool. You know, but there should also be, you know, regulations to enable people, nevertheless, to make sure, like, you know, that the cars are being safely driven on the roads, that people are protected within those vehicles, that it's harder for people to injure other people in these vehicles, and it's harder for other people to injure people with those guns. So I don't buy that owning a car is not a right because of the Ninth Amendment, but I also don't buy their arguments that they make because, you know, they only make them when they're convenient to them. But anything else you want to throw in before we move on?
Also, the people, like, you also have people that deflect when it comes to gun violence. They don't want to talk about the inconsistencies. They want to bring up how gun control doesn't work or how something is a conspiracy to take away guns or how if we ban guns. That's another thing I have a problem with. It's like these people want to deflect attention, and that's just really self-centered.
Right.
It shows who they are.
Absolutely. And last thing before you go, caller, I do want to say I want to thank you for calling in, and I took a gamble on you because usually I require people to put their names in the YouTube chat or whatever. I didn't see that. I just took your call, and you've returned a little bit more of my faith in the callers that call into the show because I've had some randos call in who have just absolutely trolled. So it was, thank you very much for being adding good contributions to the show. I appreciate you, and I hope you listen more and call in again.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. You have a good rest of your day.
You too.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Good people. Give it restoring my faith in humanity bit by bit, right? So let's see. Wait, Elizabeth, who has a cloaking device? Bicycle has a cloaking device. Aren't those banned by the Kittimer Accords? Sorry. Nerd moment. Let's try and scroll up a little bit at least to see what's going on in the chat. Let's see. Jeff Curry, when my grandma was in a nursing home, two guys in room across the hall got into a fight because the cartoons were too loud. I saw a punch thrown. It was great. Nice. Everything's Obama's fault. Of course, everything's Obama's fault. That's what happens. It's the easy way out, right? Let's see. It could have been Warren's way of calling the Republicans cave-dwelling crayon munchers. I like your third view, third option, Crimson. That is also just as good, I suppose. Driving may be a privilege, although I still don't believe that because driving, rights can be regulated because like the right to own a weapon, right to own a gun can be regulated. I don't buy the argument that driving is a quote privilege, even if there are requirements like voting has restrictions on it. You know, we allow people to vote as long as they're 18. We allow people to vote as long as, you know, we don't have other restrictions, but we deny them the right to vote for certain things like, you know, being under 18 or other things. It doesn't mean it's any less of a right. So I, the whole right privileges things, I think, is often too much. I don't like its use because, okay, so it's a privilege, fine. That's just still, you know, I should still be able to do it as long as I meet certain set of things. I should be able to vote as long as I meet certain set of things. It doesn't make voting any less of a right. Nerd alert, yes. No cloaking in the neutral zone. Where else would you cloak? Let's see. It's a question on the driving test in California. What is that? Is driving a right or a privilege? I mean, probably just because the state probably wants to have you admit that it's a privilege. So therefore, they are easily enough to easily can maybe take more easily take it away from you, I guess. I don't know. If it can be taken away, then it's not a right. But the right to own guns can be taken away from you if you like commit a gun crime. It's still a right. But if you do actions that take your rights away, like, you know, like you try and shoot people with guns and murder them, so you commit a gun crime, so therefore you no longer have the ability to own a weapon, that doesn't make it any less of a right. It just means you've by your own actions have proven that yourself incapable of using that right responsibly, and therefore you've lost the ability to utilize that right. That's what I would say on that whole issue. Okay, almost 9:30-ish. I think we've pretty much covered the State of the Union and what I've wanted to cover with that. I think we've scrolled well past anything that Gibson Media said. I don't think I even can scroll back that far anyway. But from what I saw, bits and pieces out of my peripheral vision, it wasn't much of anything that was people might have wanted me to comment on anyway, or the people in the chat were taking care of it in and of themselves well enough. So let's just go ahead. Oh, before I go, liberal bit after, I'm going to be on Twitch tomorrow, as normal, from like 8 to 10-ish or so, my time. So 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. my time, I'll be on Twitch. But there will be another episode of Liberal Dan Radio tomorrow at 11 p.m. where we will have Philip Bittner on the show again. So if you want to hear more of Phil, I know Phil called in today on Hal. That's just completely random that I had no idea how I was having him on today. I'm having him on tomorrow. It is what it is. Wait, sorry. That's Trump's line. I think I might have scrolled past it. There we go.
It is what it is.
Thank you, Donald. So, anywho, I will be having an extra, a bonus episode, if you will, a bonus fry of Philip Bittner on tomorrow night, because later is better for him. I guess also earlier is better for him, because I guess when he calls in Hal, like at 11 or 12, that's in the evening for him, so therefore, but I can't do in the middle of the day shows because I work. So that's why I have to have him on later in the night. So I get him first thing in the morning. So, but yeah. So tonight will be, or tomorrow night, I should say, 8 to 10 over on Twitch, twitch.tv/nerdydan.com. And then after that, roughly an hour later or so, I'll have Phil on the show, and we'll talk about all issues Ukraine and stuff like that as well. Then, of course, I'll be back after that, regular stream on Tuesday, and then keep your fingers crossed for a very special guest next Wednesday. I can't say that it's going to be happening or not yet. I'm working on it. We will see. But it's a year anniversary since You Know Who came on. So hopefully we'll be able to do that again. Anyway, thanks to everybody for watching that. Shout out to Dark Brandon for owning the GOP despite the prohibition of voting people in the Constitution. Thank you very much for joining. Patreon.com/liberalband to support me. Full Bobby Spider. Click the Bobby Spider button over on liberalband.com if you want to support me. See you tomorrow. Let me see you at the next one. Bye.